This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atammani al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadiyah. واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on with the lives of the Sahabiyat, and basically we have been going through the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so today we have with us another of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is Safiya bint Huyay. Safiya radiyallahu anha. And so her name is Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. Ibn Akhtab. And her ancestry basically traces back to Harun ibn Imran, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. And so her father was the chief of the tribe of Banu Nadir. He was the chief of the tribe of Banu Nadir. One of the three Jewish tribes of Medina. And her mother, Barra bint Samawal, she was from the tribe of Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza, another of the three tribes of Medina. And her maternal uncle became a prominent Sahabi, and that was Rifa'a ibn Samawal al-Quradhi. Rifa'a ibn Samawal al-Quradhi, her uncle, the uncle of Safiya. So we see how Safiya radiallahu anha came from a Jewish background. And it's important to understand how the Jews ended up in Medina. And so when the Romans sacked Jerusalem in the year 70 after Isa alayhi salam, they suppressed the Jews, causing them to leave and disperse all over the world. So some of them, they decided to come to Arabia in search of the promised land where an awaited prophet would be sent and he would migrate to. So basically, they knew based on the knowledge they had from their scriptures that a prophet is going to come. And they had descriptions of the place where he would settle. So some of them, they followed those signs and descriptions, and it led them to Yathrib. Yathrib, which was the name of Medina before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah there. And these Jews, they basically comprised of these three tribes: Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza, and the third, Banu Qaynuqa. And these are the three tribes who would later interact with the Prophet ﷺ when he migrated to Medina. Now, Safiya radiallahu anha was born in Medina some 3 years after the prophethood. So at the time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started giving da'wah publicly in Mecca, and he started having followers. Then later on, Rasulullah ﷺ migrates to Medina. So we're talking about some 10 years later. The Prophet ﷺ migrates to Medina when Safiya is about 10 years old. Now, the Jews were upset when the Prophet ﷺ arrived. And this was sensed after a conversation between two leaders of the Jews of Medina. Huyay ibn Akhtab, the father of Safiya, and his brother Abu Yasir. So the father of Safiya and her uncle. And so Safiya narrates the incident. She says that she was the favorite child of her father and uncle. And whenever they would see her, they would play with her and give her special attention. She says, "None of the children of my father or my uncle were more popular than I was. Any of their children who wanted attention, it was always me who they would put first." Then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Quba, my father and my uncle went to him early in the morning and only came back at sunset. So she says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when news came that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached Medina, everyone went out to meet him, including her father and her uncle, and they were both Jews. And she says they only came back once the sun had set that day. She said they were so tired they could barely walk. And I raced over to greet them, as was my habit, but I swear neither of them looked at me. So she wasn't used to that. She was used to them, you know, coming to her and hugging her and giving her attention. But she says, neither of them looked at me. And then I heard my uncle Abu Yasir ask my father, was that him? So basically, he was asking if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who they just met, if he is the one who is mentioned in their scriptures. Is he the promised prophet? So the father of Safiya, he says yes, and I swear by Allah, it's him. So Abu Yasir, he says, do you recognize him from his character and his description? Huyay ibn Akhtab, the father of Safiya, he says, I certainly do in the name of Allah. So then Abu Yasir says, so what are you going to do? How are you going to be with him? How are you going to treat him? Look at the answer of Huyay, the father of Safiya. He says, by Allah, I will be his enemy for as long as I live. And so first he recognizes that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed the prophet of Allah, and he's sure that it's him. Rather than saying that he's going to follow him, he says that he's going to be his enemy for the rest of his life. Why? The reason is because of envy and jealousy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us in the Quran. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ended up being from the Arabs rather than from Bani Israel as the Jews had wanted. Right? So this led to envy, and that envy led to kufr. And here we're dealing with the worst type of kufr. And that is disbelieving in the truth when you know that it is a truth. You know, some people, they disbelieve because they don't think that Islam is true. They think, you know, this is all made up. Then you have some people who know that Islam is the truth. Nevertheless, they still reject it. And this was the case with Huyay ibn Akhtab, the father of Safiya. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, mentions in the Quran that, you know, once the Prophet had come, they disbelieved. the same Jews who were expecting him, who recognized him, they disbelieved after recognizing him. Now, Huyay, he ended up living to his vow, and he showed enmity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam all the way until the end. And so we mentioned he was the leader of Banu Nadir, who were later on expelled from Medina. Basically, the Prophet ﷺ had a treaty with the three tribes of the Jews. When he arrived in Medina, he made a treaty with them, and they broke that treaty. The first tribe to break that treaty, or one of the tribes to break that treaty, was Banu Nadir. They broke the treaty, and so they were expelled to Khaybar, and their leader is Huyay. And it was he who went to the last tribe of the Jews who remained in Medina, Banu Qurayza, and he rallied them to betray the Prophet ﷺ and join the Ahzab. So the Battle of Ahzab in the fifth year of the Hijrah was when all the Arabs and the tribes and everyone came and laid siege to the Prophet ﷺ in Medina. And they were on the outside, and this last remaining Jewish tribe, Banu Qurayza, they were inside Medina. And they still upheld their treaty. But now, Huyay comes all the way from Khaybar, and he rallies them to break the treaty and to attack the Prophet ﷺ, to basically join the Ahzab. So although he was expelled from Medina, Huyay, with his tribe Banu Nadir, he continues conspiring against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And because of how Banu Qurayza betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and helped the Ahzab, as soon as the war was over, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered all of their men to be executed, and with them at this time was Huyay. Huyay ibn Akhtab happened to be with them, and so he was executed. And so this was the end of Huyay ibn Akhtab, the father of Safiya radiallahu anha. So anyways, now Safiya ends up growing up with her family in Khaybar. First, she was married off to Salam ibn Mishkam, who later divorced her. Then in the seventh year of the Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had set out with his companions to put an end to the menace of the Jews, who did not leave the Muslims alone, but kept on conspiring against them all the way from Khaybar. And around this time, Safiya ended up marrying one of her relatives, Kinana ibn al-Rabi'a. So the Muslims, they came to Khaybar, they attacked Khaybar. The Prophet ﷺ easily defeated the Jews of Khaybar. And now all that they had, all of their possessions, came into the hands of the Muslims, and their women and their children were taken as captives. And among these captives was Safiya. And so when the Prophet ﷺ distributed the captives, the companion Dihya al-Kalbi, and he was a very beautiful or handsome companion. In fact, when Jibreel alayhi salam would come down in the form of a man, he would resemble Dihya. He would resemble this companion. This shows how beautiful and handsome he was. So he came asking the Prophet ﷺ for one of the slaves, one of the captives, to take for himself, because he participated in that battle. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, go and choose one. So Dihya radiallahu anh, he went and he chose Safiya. Now, when some of the other companions noticed this, they notice that this is the daughter of the leader of Banu Nadir. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they told him that, look, a noble woman from the Jews has ended up with Dihya, and he is just another one of the Muslims. She is not suitable for anyone except you, O Messenger of Allah. So they were saying that, you know, Safiya is the daughter, she's from the elite, she deserves better. She deserves to be in your possession. So the Prophet ﷺ agreed and he told Dihya to choose someone else. In some narrations, the Prophet ﷺ gave him seven slaves to choose in exchange. So now, Safiya radiallahu anha was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what did the Prophet ﷺ do with her? This is the daughter of one of his staunchest enemies. And he has been executed, right? He was executed, right, until the very end. You know, he did not give up in his war against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said to her, "O Safiya, if you choose Islam, I will keep you for myself," meaning I will marry you. By the way, the husband of Safiya, who she had just recently married, was killed among the men who were killed in the Battle of Khaybar. So, she doesn't have her husband. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "O Safiya, if you choose Islam, I will keep you for myself," meaning I will marry you. "But if you prefer to remain a Jew, then I can free you and you can go back to your family." And so here the Prophet ﷺ was giving her a choice. And this is very similar to the story of Juwayriya radiallahu anha, who we mentioned last week, who also fell as a captive, and the Prophet ﷺ also gave her a similar choice. So what was the response of Safiya? She said, "O Messenger of Allah, I admire Islam, and I believed in you before you invited me to Islam. I believed in you before you invited me to Islam. And when I came to your tent, I had no desire for Judaism, nor did I have any father or brother among them. I have been given the choice now between kufr and Islam, and Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to me than freedom or returning to my people." And so here you have Safiya radiallahu anha. Her father, her uncle, her husband were all killed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she saw the complete annihilation of her people. You know, the remaining men from among the Jews, they were told to leave Hijaz, and they basically left and went to Asham, to Syria. And all of these events unfolded in front of her eyes, in her lifetime. And she was young at the time. So she must have had some hard feelings because of that. So look at what she says. Safiya radiallahu anha, she says, "Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of the most despised and hated of people to me. He killed my husband and my father, but he kept on apologizing to me." Basically, Safiya told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you did this to my father, or she basically, you know, mentioned how he was she had these hard feelings for him. But then she says, "He kept on apologizing to me, telling me that your father was the one who mobilized the Arabs against me, and he is the one who did such and such, and he did such and such. He conspired in this way and in that way." She says, "Until all of the pain in my heart went away." All of that hatred for the Prophet ﷺ went away. And so in this way, we see how the Prophet ﷺ gained the respect and the love of Safiya. And we can see it was all due to how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with her with compassion and dignity. You know, he did not go harsh on her. You know, rather, as he was known, he was, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except as a mercy for mankind. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he narrates the story of the marriage, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Khaybar, and when Allah gave him victory and he conquered the town by breaking the enemy's defense, the beauty of Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab was mentioned to him, and her husband had been killed while she was a bride. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam selected her for himself, and he set out in her company until he reached Sad al-Rawha. So basically, all of this transpired while they were still at Khaybar, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, told her what he told her. And then the entire army started making their way back to Medina. On the way, it's mentioned in other narrations that Safiya happened to have been in her menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam waited until she was done. And so on the way, she had completed her menses. So on the way, Anas radiallahu anhu says, at this place, Sad al-Rawha, this is where her menses were over and he married her. So basically, this is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the nikah. And then Anas says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam started asking the companions to bring whatever they had, so a food. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to now have the walima. So, everyone brought whatever they had, and then they made a kind of meal, which is known as hais, which is made of dates and honey and other things. Anas radiallahu anhu says, then hais was prepared and served on a small leather sheet. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said to me, inform those who are around you about this walima. And so everyone came and they had that meal and that food. Anas radiallahu anhu, he goes on to say, so that was the walima given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Safiya. After that, we proceeded to Medina, and I saw that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was covering her with a cloak while she was behind him. Then he would sit beside his camel and let Safiya put her knee on his knees to get on to ride the camel. So this again shows us the humility of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, even though he was the leader of the Muslims, he did not act like an arrogant king. Look at how he lowered himself for his wife Safiya, and he allowed her to put her feet on his knees to get up and to get onto the camel. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we can see, did not leave Safiya as a slave, but rather he freed her and then he married her. So this means that she is one of the ummahatul mu'mineen, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the mothers of the believers, and not a slave. So she did not remain a slave of his. And this is similar, as I mentioned, to the story of Juwayriya that we covered last week. Now, we've already mentioned previously the reasons for the multiple marriages of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, refuting the claim that he would marry for his personal desires. And so the same can be said about his marriage to Safiya radiallahu anha. And so yes, although the Prophet ﷺ did take her from Dihya radiallahu anh, it does not mean he did that to, you know, satisfy some personal desires, but rather, as other narrations mention, the companions came complaining to the Prophet that, you know, here is a noble woman from the Jews, and she has ended up with just another man from the Muslims, and she is not suitable except to be with you, O Messenger of Allah. And so in this way, the Prophet ﷺ actually honored Safiya by taking her for himself. And we can also add to this, that the Prophet ﷺ may have married her as he would marry women of different tribes, to bring those tribes closer to Islam. So perhaps he hoped that this marriage would lessen the enmity and the hostility of the Jews towards him. And, you know, just like what happened in the case of Juwayriyah, once they had learnt that the Prophet ﷺ married, you know, the daughter of their leader, all of the companions who had them in their hands, they released all those captives, freed them, and in this way, all of them ended up becoming Muslim. Anyways, now the Prophet ﷺ is with Safiya, and he notices some blue marks on her face. So he asks her about that. And so she says to the Prophet ﷺ, "One day, I was sleeping with my head in the lap of my husband, and I saw a dream. I saw that the moon was falling from the direction of Yathrib, of Medina, and it was falling into my lap. When I woke up, I told my husband about this dream." So we notice this was a similar dream that Juwayriyah radiallahu anha had, where, you know, she also saw something similar. And so she says, "When I woke up, I told my husband about this dream, and so he slapped me on the face. And he said, 'You desire the king of the Arabs?' So he interpreted this dream to mean that she wanted to marry Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it wasn't a desire, rather it was something from Allah showing her what would happen in the future. And it ended up happening as it was interpreted, that she would marry the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, the next morning, when Rasulullah ﷺ woke up after that night, he found Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anh having spent the night awake, and he had his sword in his hand. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, you know, "What are you doing up? Why didn't you go to sleep?" So Abu Ayyub, he said, "O Messenger of Allah, she was a young woman who only recently got married," meaning she was a bride. She had just recently gotten married, and at this time, she was 17 years old. She was 17 years old. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, she was a young woman who only recently married, and you had killed her father, her brother, and her husband. So I did not feel safe leaving her alone with you." Meaning that, you know, Abu Ayyub was afraid for the safety of Rasulullah ﷺ, that maybe somebody will take revenge, maybe somebody from the Jews will come and try to do something. So then the Prophet ﷺ laughed and he said, "O Allah, Abu Ayyub spent the night protecting me, so protect him and his family." Now, as we have seen in many other instances, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often show what is known as al-ghayrah, or protective jealousy. So how they would show jealousy for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so now that Safiya had joined them, it was only expected that she experiences some of their bitterness towards her. And it didn't take long for that to start. As soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from Khaybar with Safiya, the women of the Ansar, hearing of her beauty, they came to see her. And guess who comes with them? Aisha radiallahu anha. And by now, the hijab was legislated. So Aisha came with a niqab covering her face. And so she entered with these women. And then she was leaving. Right? She came to see Safiya. She heard what everyone was hearing about her being very beautiful. And she got jealous. She wanted to see what everyone was talking about. So she came. But she didn't want the Prophet ﷺ to notice her. So she was wearing a niqab. And then she left. So the Prophet ﷺ already recognized her. He knew it was her. So when she left, he followed her and he asked her, "Oh Aisha, what did you think? What did you think of her?" So look at the response of Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, "Ra'aytu Yahudiyah." I saw a Jew. You know, what I saw is a Jewish woman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not say that, for she has embraced Islam. Do not say that, for indeed she has embraced Islam." Now one day, the Prophet ﷺ came home to find Safiya crying. He asked her what happened. She said, "Hafsa called me the daughter of a Jew." Hafsa called me the daughter of a Jew. So you could see how, you know, all the different wives are taking shots at Safiya radiallahu anha. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, you can say to her, you can go and say to her, "My father is a prophet, my uncle is a prophet, and my husband is a prophet. So what makes you think that you are better than me?" So what was the Prophet ﷺ talking about when he said to Safiya that, you know, go and tell Hafsa that my father is a prophet? Basically, what did we mention in the very beginning? That her ancestry goes back to Harun. Her ancestry goes back to Harun. So go and tell Hafsa that my father is a prophet, meaning Harun, and my uncle is a prophet, meaning Musa alayhi salam, and my husband is a prophet, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you do that, you have something to be proud of over Hafsa. And then the Prophet ﷺ went to Hafsa and told her to fear Allah. And so we can see how, you know, although the wives of the Prophet ﷺ were doing this, the Prophet ﷺ did not remain silent, right? It's not permissible to take such shots at, you know, our Muslim brothers and sisters. And you know, this showed their jealousy. However, even though the Prophet ﷺ understood where it was coming from, he did not remain silent. In both cases, he condemned both Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhuma. On another occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet ﷺ, "You know, it is enough for you in Safiya that she is such and such." Right? Again, she's trying to take a shot at Safiya. She said, basically, in another version, she described the height of Safiya as being short. So she criticized Safiya for being short. So the Prophet ﷺ, condemning her, he said, "You have said a word which would pollute the sea if it was mixed in it." If it was mixed in it. So again, we see how the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he knew where this was coming from, but he did not just remain silent. Then we have the famous incident in which the jealousy of Aisha radiallahu anha led to her breaking the dish of Safiya. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates a story. She says, "I never saw any woman who made food like Safiya." So basically, Safiya was known for making delicious food. She says, "I never saw any woman who would make food like Safiya." So one day she sent a dish to the Prophet ﷺ in which there was some food, and I could not keep myself, right? I couldn't control myself because this was the day of Aisha. And here you have food coming from Safiya. So she basically broke the dish and she made the food to just basically fall on the ground. So then later on, she came back to, you know, her calm, and she asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is the expiation for what I did? You know, what can I do? What is the penalty for what I did? What is the kafara? And so the Prophet ﷺ said, a dish like that dish and food like that food. A dish like that dish and food like that food. And so look at how the Prophet ﷺ, you know, just closed the curtains on this problem. You know, he just drew the curtains. He just closed the door, right? He understood that, you know, this is all coming from the natural jealousy that women have. And he didn't get upset, right? He could have easily have done what other men, you know, might do in such a situation and just lose his temper, but he didn't. But at the same time, we see how the Prophet ﷺ did not allow Aisha to do such a thing and just get away with it. You know, there are the rights of others, right? So he didn't just let her off the hook. He said, you know, that dish, you have to return a dish that is similar to that, to what you broke, to Safiya. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ was in his final days and he was extremely ill and in pain, you know, this was his final sickness before his death, all of his wives were gathered around him. And so Safiya, showing her profound love and affection for the Prophet ﷺ, she looked at him and she said, you know, imagine all of the wives are there sitting around the Prophet ﷺ. And Safiya looks at him and says, O Messenger of Allah, I wish that your suffering and pain is given to me, and you are free and healthy, and you're free of any pain and suffering. Basically, I want to be in your place so that you don't have to go through what you're going through. Now, when she said this, all the other wives started looking at each other, basically saying, you know, who does she think she is, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, noticing their jealousy, he said to them, by Allah, she is truthful in what she is saying, meaning that, you know, Safiya is not just saying this to put on a show, you know, to have an advantage over the rest of you. She actually means it, right? She actually means it. You know, she's not just trying to show her love and affection for me, but she actually means it. All right, we'll conclude with some of the virtues, the fada'il of Safiya radiallahu anha. Like all of the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Safiya, she had the qualities of a righteous, pious Muslimah. And again, whenever we go over these qualities of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, and the other, you know, noble Sahabiyat, we should take an example of it, and we should try to follow in their footsteps. And so Safiya was an avid worshipper. She would worship Allah. She would make a lot of dhikr. She narrates that one day, and this narration, it's weak. It's a weak narration in terms of the chain. It's considered da'if. But nonetheless, she says, one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered upon me, and in front of me were 4,000 date seeds. And I was making tasbih with them. with them. Basically, like how we make, how some people make tasbih with dhikr beads, she was using these date seeds, and she had 4,000 of them in front of her. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you made tasbih with all of these. Shall I not teach you that which is more than what you have made tasbih with? I said, yes, teach me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, say, Subhanallahi adada khalqihi. Subhanallahi adada khalqihi. Glory be to Allah according to the number of His creation. According to the number of His creation. And obviously, the creation of Allah is far more than 4,000. We also see how generous Safiya was. When she arrived in Medina, she had some gold jewelry. And so she divided it among some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his daughter Fatima. And she was also very generous. She happened to have a relative, a nephew, who remained a Jew. And she was basically encouraging him to accept Islam, but he didn't. And in her wasiyah, in her will, she basically wrote that he should have a certain amount of what she's leaving behind. And Safiya, radiallahu anha, left behind a lot of wealth, a lot of inheritance. And, you know, before she passed away, she basically wanted this relative, this nephew, to have, you know, a part of the will. And this was because she wanted him to accept Islam. She wanted him to accept Islam. And so this shows us her generosity. We also see how Safiya had the quality of hilm. Hilm is a term that describes someone who is patient, tolerant, and forgiving and forbearing. Someone who does not hold resentment in his heart towards those who have hurt them. And so one day, in the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab, a slave girl of Safiya went to Umar complaining about Safiya. She told Umar ibn Khattab that Safiya loves a Sabt, Saturday, and she keeps relations with the Jews. Right? So Umar radiallahu anhu went to Safiya and said, I've been informed that you love Saturday and you keep relations with the Jews. So Safiya said, as for Saturday, I have not loved it ever since Allah replaced it for me with Friday, with Jumu'ah. And we have a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah gifted us with Jumu'ah, with Friday. And He guided us to it while Ahlul Kitab, the Christians and the Jews, they missed it. Allah did not guide them to it. And so in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ says that the Jews do not envy us over anything more than they envy us for having taken Friday. So anyway, she says, as for Saturday, accept, I have not loved it ever since Allah replaced it for me with Friday, with Jumu'ah. Why would I love it? And then she said, as for the Jews, I have blood ties with them. So I maintain the ties of kinship, Silatul Rahim. All right, so she explained herself to Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Then she turned to the girl and she asked her, what made you do that? You know, why did you do this? So the girl, she said, Shaytan. You know, Shaytan made me do this. So what did Safiya do? She didn't discipline her. She didn't, you know, here, you know, someone did something really bad to her. She said, then in that case, I free you for the sake of Allah. I free you for the sake of Allah. She freed this slave girl. And, you know, freeing a slave is a huge good deed in Islam. Sophia also spared no effort in advising and guiding people and reminding them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, an example is when one day a group of people gathered in her apartment, and they were engaging in dhikr and reciting the Quran. And when they recited one of the verses that has a sajda, they all went down in sujood. So she called out to them from behind the curtain, and she said, "This is the prostration, this is the sujood, and this is the recitation of the Quran, but where is the crying out of the fear of Allah? Where is the crying out of the fear of Allah?" Now, although Safiya radiallahu anha did not go on to narrate as many ahadith as some of the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, we mentioned the example of Aisha and Salama. Safiya, it's mentioned that she only narrated some 10 ahadith. However, some of these ahadith are extremely important because scholars have derived rulings from them that couldn't have been known without her narrating them to us. An example is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. A hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Safiya radiallahu anha narrates it. She says, "I came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was in i'tikaf in Ramadan." And her apartment was the furthest from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the masjid. It was the furthest. So she says, after I sat there, you know, we had our conversation. I got up to go back home. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also got up with me and accompanied me a part of the way. So as they're walking, and it's nighttime, she says, two men from the Ansar passed by. When they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they hurried up. So they quickly made their way. They quickened their pace. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out to them. He said, "Do not hurry. She is Safiya, the daughter of Huyay. She is my wife." So the two men, they turned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Subhanallah, Ya Rasulullah, Subhanallah." You know, what they meant is, you know, Subhanallah, are you thinking that we are having some evil suspicions about you, that you're out there with some other woman? So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Shaitan circulates in a person like blood circulates in the veins, and I feared that shaitan may drop some evil thoughts in your minds." And so what we learn from this hadith is the importance of, you know, giving clarifications whenever misunderstandings may arise, in order to basically cut off these evil thoughts of suspicion that shaitan may put in our hearts. Another important hadith in which we actually learned one of the rulings of Hajj. And because of this narration that Safiya narrated to us, all Muslim women until Yawm al-Qiyamah, they owe it to Safiya. They owe it to Safiya. Basically, when you go for Hajj, at the very end, after you've made your Hajj, before leaving Mecca, you're supposed to make one last tawaf. And this is known as tawaf al-wida', the farewell tawaf. So, in the farewell Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that all of the wives accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that journey. So on the last day, after they were done with their Hajj and it was time to leave and return to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that Safiya had not performed her farewell tawaf. And this was because she was in her menses. She was in her menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if she is menstruating, then the farewell tawaf is not obligatory on her, and we can leave, and we can go. So from that day onwards, we have a ruling, a hukm in our Sharia for all Muslim women in a similar circumstance. If they go for Hajj, they can leave Mecca without performing the farewell tawaf, and they don't have to offer any expiation for that. Right? That farewell tawaf is mandatory. But if a woman is in such a situation, there's nothing upon her. And this is because of this hadith. And this is because of what Safiya radiallahu anha went through. Now, Safiya went on to live through the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anha. And then Safiya went on to live through the khilafah of Ali radiallahu anh. And then in the khilafah of Muawiyah, she ended up passing away. And this was in Medina at the age of 60. In the year 50 or 52 of the Hijrah. And she was buried in Al-Baqiyah. She was buried in Al-Baqiyah. And so this is the life of Safiya bint Huyay radiallahu anha. As we can see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has now added another one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen to his family. And as we can see, she once again is not from Quraysh, right? We mentioned last week that Juwayriya was the first woman to not be from Quraysh. And now we have the first woman who is not from the Arabs. She is from the Jews. And that did not prevent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from marrying her. You know, he didn't keep her as a slave, even though he could have. But he freed her and he married her, and she became one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. May Allah be pleased upon her. May Allah be pleased with her and with all of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. We'll conclude here. We'll stop here. And inshallah, next week, we'll move on to another one of the mothers of the believers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. وصلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.